but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a 0.08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a 0.08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Bruce Barnum, Portland State football coach, joins us every week. He's coming off. It's not a week off. I won't say that because coaches get mad about that. It's a bye week that he is coming out of. He will get Weber State at home this week, 2 o'clock. If you want to see the Vikings play, Bruce Barnum, how are you, man?
Hey, John, thanks for having the Vikes on, you know. Season 2 starts. That's how we're looking at it. We're halfway there. We got 6 left. And last week, bye week, was probably the most energy I've seen in practice. You know, we bring that to game day, and the Vikes are going to come out victorious.
Give me an idea. You know, it's not an off week. It's a bye week. Tell us what you guys do that's different during that kind of week where you're getting that extra prep, trying to get healthy, et cetera.
We kept it. We had Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday practice, and they were good practices. We got after it. We have a lot of people. Personnel was a big thing before we jumped in those practices just because we're down. We moved some guys from defense to offense. We moved some quarterbacks to receivers. We shuffled some guys around to make sure we were filled and had depth. Then we had them play football and make sure, you know, they know where they're going and where to line up and what to do. And again, our defense kind of carried us through. I'd say the emotional side, offense was doing a little bit of thinking, but by Thursday, I liked where we were at. But it was practice. I gave them Friday, Saturday off. John, Saturday, I want them to, sit back, watch college football. You know, a couple guys went fishing. One guy went deer hunting. Most of them watched games and acted like normal people, you know. Then we're back at it Sunday night. We had a 7 p.m. meeting and ready to go. Had a nice practice today, so I'm getting ready for the Wildcats.
Last time we had you on, we talked about James Franklin, who was a friend of yours, co-worker of yours at Idaho State and Penn State, not showing a lot of patience with him. I'm just shocked at the fact that we're talking about Franklin being out at this point. Trent Bray at Oregon State out after his start there. Trent Dilfer at Alabama Birmingham fired as well. What do you make of this profession? And especially, guys at the upper high level like James Franklin and the lack of patience out there.
Well, I think, you know, I think personally it comes from that much money into winning and the pressure, and it's a, you know, what have you done for me lately? It's a reset. It's if you and I give $100 million to that program and we drop 3 in a row after being on top of the world in less than a month ago, we're impatient. We want to start over. You know, that's our society. You push reset, you don't work.
Yeah, and I'm left looking at that, and I guess, I mean, do you feel sorry for the guy because he's making, you know, he walks away, still gets $50 million, you know, he'll have the earnings there, he's got a contract, but still people involved. You knew James Franklin as a young coach at Idaho State, and did you reach out to him?
Oh, yeah, we texted, I waited a day or so, I think. Yesterday we texted, so... You know, he's James Franklin. His family is set. So in the scheme of things, you know, I don't feel sorry for him at all. I mean, you're walking away with that much money. Your family is taken care of. Isn't that everybody's goal, you know? But the game, you know, egos involved, obviously, with this profession. And, I mean, that's, if anything got hit, it was that. But he's also a player's coach, so I'm guessing, you know, there's some love as he walks out the door, you know. But it's hard. It's hard on a fan. It's hard on the kids. I thought, first thing I thought about were his daughter, were, was his family, because they're living out there. They're not living in the football offices or on social media or at the stadium. You know, they live it more than the coaches do, I think, because they're going to hear from their classmates and friends. And that's the world that always makes me reflect, I guess.
You are six games into your season. You haven't had the success you've hoped for. Obviously, those first four games, I think, really difficult to ask you to do much more than, you know, try to stay healthy, pick up the check, get better. But do you feel that pressure? Do you feel that hanging overhead, or what does it feel like at Portland State?
You know, John, it's there's a lot that goes into this place if you're comparing me to the other guys that aren't winning as much as they want or at all as we're at right now. But you know, game does not define what I'm doing. My guys are still in the right spot. My locker room, I still like it. The kids are still practicing hard. That's my challenge, you know. Now I have to get them to refocus. And again, these are games we can win. And again, I got to talk to the brass. This is the second year in a row in both polls we've had the toughest schedule in the country. I mean, we don't need that at Portland State. You know, give me a couple gimme putts. But that's not what it is. So how are you going to deal with it? You know, I don't listen to the – if you listen to the noise in this profession, you'll never be successful. So we're focusing on this week. I have six left, you know. I have six left. Judge Portland State at the end of the season, not halfway through, when we're a little down on our luck right now and banged up, excuse me, and bringing a donkey to the Kentucky Derby. Now, you know, Saturday, we got a shot. So that's where I'm at.
What do you see when you look at Weber State on film? You'll play them Saturday, 2:00 out in Hillsboro for people who want to go.
What do I see?
Yeah.
They've always been a defensive crew, you know, there's some history there with coaches. I know some of them. I respect one. Cowser played for the Raiders for a while, coached against him. So there's that side of it as far as knowing what I think they might do. The chess match is there. They have a kid, number one on defense, who's a heck of a player. They have trouble at quarterback. They're banged up at quarterback. I think they're on their third quarterback. They like to play man. They like to have a running quarterback. Now they have a throwing quarterback. So there's a lot of pieces there that we look at from a staff. But how do we match up? We need to run the football more. I'm hoping we can do it this week. I think we match up a little better than we had the last 6 weeks. I like my quarterback. He's settled in, you know. By that, I mean John is – that's his name, not your. Well, it's both of your names.
Yeah,
my quarterback John Sagapugatelli's.
Yeah, you got the brother of the Cal QB.
Yeah, and he's getting better every week. He almost threw for 400 last week. You know, he sees the field. I just need to add some run game, and maybe we can run away with one. Who knows?
Bruce Barnum with us, Portland State coach. You mentioned guys changing positions. Are you worried that Weber State's going to listen to the podcast of this interview and go, oh, they got guys changing positions? Or are you
who's going where, you know? And I finally got some guys healthy. You know one. The little toehead, Crew Newman. I've been playing him at receiver. He was a quarterback for
the
us.
Little toehead. I love that.
Well, yeah. He's been playing with a broken hand and a pulled hamstring. So he came in. He was in my office yesterday. Coach, can I meet with you? And he's sitting right here bouncing off the wall saying, Coach, look. And he takes his cast off his hand. You know, he's happy as a clam. So, you know, some guys are getting out of the tub a little bit. But no, we are who we are, and they won't be able to catch up from what we moved somebody. I moved Kenan. I got to move some guys. I lost another receiver last game for the season. So You got to patch it up and put one together, my friend.
Is this something that you see, like you know, you're watching a guy play QB and you go, hey, he could be a receiver in a pinch? Or do you go and really go, hey, when we recruited him, he was a two-way player and we know he can play these other positions. How much on the fly, I guess, is what I'm asking. How much on the fly are you doing? Or in a bye week, you know, can you get a guy ready to switch positions?
It takes about 2 weeks to make them. And it depends on the history. I moved one guy that started out as a receiver. We moved him to DB. Now he's back because he's fast and he was down the depth chart over there. So he's caught up a little bit, you know, but you move a guy, say, from quarterback to wide receiver. If he's never played it, it's going to take him 2 to 3 to be a solid contributor, you know. So you kind of keep it simple, but we recruit to that realm too. We don't bait and switch, but most people, you know, most high school football teams, their best athlete is their quarterback. So we'll take him, and I'll tell him we'll give him a year. If you're not in the too deep, I'm going to talk to you about a move, but you have, you know, one full year to make a mark. Coming, we try to recruit that way.
Coming up in our next segment, we're going to have Lee Schwartz on. He's the dad of Jeff Schwartz and, you know, and Mitchell Schwartz, who both played in the NFL. He's going to talk about what it was like to be a parent watching his kids play. What kind of parent were you watching your kids play and compete in different baseball and football and other things?
I'm proud to say I was not a little league parent. I wasn't a hockey parent. I was out in the outfield listening to everybody talking, or I walked away from everybody listening to them talking to other kids. He's going to be drafted by, you know, the NHL. I got away. I wanted to watch my kids have fun and see if they could compete. And I talked to them. I think every time they got back in the car, you know, when I was driving them to the games, did you have fun? That was my first one. And then if they, I'd make them bring it up. But if I ever saw them sloughing, I guess the word is, or not competing, that's what I kind of hit on, you know, as a parent.
Yeah, you want to play. You got to play hard.
I don't think. Yeah, play hard. That's one. You're better with the words than I am. That's who I was, because that's how I thank my parent. One of my coaches, many moons ago, came up when I was done. I moving on to college and said, you know what? I will never forget your parents. They never complained. All they did was, you know, help. They watched the game. I said, I wish all parents were like that.
Bruce Barnum.
So maybe that's where I got it from. Shoot, I don't know.
Yeah. Do you ever get parents of college kids who will complain to you, or do they mainly by that time stay out of it?
Oh, boy. Oh, no. Now, here's what I contributed to.
Yeah.
And it's easy at this level. That's why I don't coach high school. I'd have been fired. If I coach high school, I'd be fired in a day. Get the out of my office. I tell them at this level, and I do get it. Not a lot, but you get it. And I say, you know what, I'll never talk to you about your son's playing time. He's a grown man. I'll talk to him about that. If there's ever issues with his health or his mental health, I will call you, even though it's a, I don't know, they call it a herpa-jerp. There's something I'm not supposed to call
HIPAA.
People.
It's a HIPAA thing.
HIPAA,
it's a privacy thing.
But I will call you on that. I'll get fired for that one, because I'm not going to let something happen to your son.
All right.
But here's why it is. Here's what your people need to know. It's not a bad thing what they're doing, John. It's because they love their kids so damn much. That's how I see it now that I'm older.
Right. Now that you're
they
older
love their
and
kids
wiser.
So damn much they can't separate.
They can't help themselves. That's
right.
It. So love your kids a little less. That's the lesson on today's show. There you
God
go.
Damn, that's not what I said.
I know.
Only when they're playing sports. When they're playing sports, let them go. Roll it out there and get the hell out the ring.
Bruce Barnum, you're the best. Thank you for joining us. I appreciate you.
All right. Thanks for having us. Goodbye.
All right. There he goes. Portland State coach Bruce Barnum. As he said, you know, it's just because they love their kids so much. You love your kids, don't you? Coming up, Lee Schwartz. He is the father of Jeff Schwartz, former Oregon Duck, and Mitchell Schwartz. Both played in the NFL. Mitchell won a Super Bowl with the Kansas City Chiefs. He's written a book. He's going to be with us to talk about what it's like to watch your kids go from peewee football to the NFL. Leave it here. You got the Bald-Faced Truth statewide.